It's time for the Ronin Role Playing Podcast. Join Scormy as he plays through various tabletop role-playing games entirely on his own. Some are specifically designed for solo play, while with others he will be using a GM emulator. Regardless, come enjoy the strange world of solo role-playing with your host, Scormy.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Scormus, and if the title intro didn't clue you in, we're trying something new now. Things kind of fell apart with Knights of the Tabletop, so after the last session, so we're going to do something different, and it's going to be solo. At least for a little while. We're going to see how this works out. Thus the Ronin role-playing. If y'all don't know what that is, look it up. A little bit of Japanese history. Wouldn't kill anyone. Anyway, so what exactly are we doing? Well, this is still a role-playing, actual play podcast. That is what we're going to stick with. But we're doing something a little different. You see, I'm recording this in the summer. Not, well, after my surgery, but in the aftermath of what happened last time with the old show. So, and we won't get into that. But, basically, I got nothing to do. I'm sitting here at home, recovering from my surgery. I've got enough strength back up to do recording, but nobody to record with for role-playing purposes. So, we're going to do this. We're going to do some solo role-playing. Again, something I've never done. And in fact, until recently, something I didn't even really believe in. I'm like, how can you role-play alone? It's a group activity. You have a game master or dungeon master, and you have some players, and you go do your thing. Oh, how narrow-minded I was, how misinformed I was, because there have been many great games out there that I was totally missing, and many different types of experiences I had just overlooked, because, well, you know, role-playing is just one way. Well, no, it's not. I backed a game called Seekers Beyond the Shroud, which is a solo role-playing game. I got it as basically a supplement to another horror game called Cthulhu, thinking, oh, this might make some good background material we could work with. And, yeah, it's just a great little solo game. And now I understand. Now I get it. You don't need game masters. You don't. You really don't. All you need is your imagination and a proper GM emulator, which is basically a system that you can overlay over any game or many games like Ironsworn, Seekers Beyond the Shroud, and others, come with them built into their systems. They're designed specifically for that. Ironsworn can be played as a regular game, or it can be played co-op with just some players and no game master, or it can be played entirely solo. Seekers Beyond the Shroud is built to be played entirely solo. Many other games do the same thing, co-op or solo. And then there's these game master emulators that you can get. Some are free, others you have to pay a little bit for, like Mythic, and they just do the hard work for you. I'll be using Conjecture Games, Conjectural Role-Playing Game Master Emulator, or CRGE, which you can get off of, that's a drive-through RPG. And it was pay what you want, if I remember right. Also, you can get from the same company, Conjecture Games. Both of these are written by Zach Best. The Uni, or UN, or I don't know how they pronounce it. Anyway, it's UNE, the Universal NPC Emulator. Again, you can get that on DriveThruRPG. And that's just great for building NPCs on the fly. And that's what I love so much about these systems, is that you can come into them and just sit down and play. You don't have to come into it with any sort of preconceived notions. You don't have to build an adventure like a game master normally would. And any game master can use this if they wanted to, if they just want to sit down and just do a let's find out what happens sort of situation. Basically, they can be in an, you know, in your classic tavern. Start out there and just run with it. Roll some dice, see what happens. Use your imagination and what fits to the current circumstances and just go from there. You don't have to have any plots or anything built in, just some characters, some motivations, and some dice. So that's what we're going to be doing. I have literally never played one of these games solo before. So this is all going to be brand new, and we're going to be just seeing how it goes, starting with basically this is a session zero. We're going to be making a character, which isn't going to take much for the game we're going to be playing, and then we're going to just get things started and see what happens. All right? Now, y'all know what I'm using for the GM emulator, CRGE, right? But what game are we playing? Well, that's simple enough. We're going to play Feng Shui 2. Yes, I've talked about it on Knights of the Tabletop before. I've mentioned it. This was the game we were supposed to play for the mid-year kind of a Season 1.5, once the Pugmire adventure finished up, and that kind of fell through. We played some D&D, and anyway, we won't get into that, but we're going to play it now. So, what is Feng Shui 2? It is a very cinematic role-playing game. You can set it wherever. It's got various time frames you can set it in, four different ones. Far future, the Old West, basically, contemporary, and in the future. And we're going to be playing a contemporary setting, just doing a basic, emulating an action movie from like the 80s, right? That sort of goofy action, Jackie Chan, Chow Yun-fat, Steven Seagal, sort of, you know, that sort of goofy action film. All right, so that's what we're going for. You could think of this, if you look at all of it together, it's basically the movie Big Trouble in Little China as a role-playing game. But what I envision is just doing non-supernatural stuff, just basically keeping it down to a more normal thing, just to start off with. Okay, so because of that, I already chose an archetype for my character. I want to play an everyday hero, which would be, for those who have seen Big Trouble in Little China, Jack Burton. I love Jack Burton. So, we're not going to be playing Jack Burton, but we're playing a character that is in a similar sort of circumstance. Just some unwitting guy. Just some dude off the street. Not a trained warrior, not anything like that. He's just some guy, right? And so, that's what we're going to go with. His name's going to be Francis Tool, or mostly known as Frank. He's a tool. And, well, let's just go through how to make a character. Basically, it's really simple. They have 30-odd different archetypes in the game. You just find one that works with your time period that you're going to be playing in, and fill out a few things, and you're ready to go. All the stats are already to start with. Basically, you just get a bog-standard character for the first adventure. And when you can get advancements, that's when you start customizing them and making them different from everybody else. So, depending on how you make your character, your everyday hero may end up way different from somebody else playing the same game, playing the same archetype, They just basically level them up differently. So they may have started out exactly the same, but they branch off quickly, which is kind of neat. Anyway, let me get a quick drink and we'll continue. Okay, so we got the juncture, flavor text, awesoming up, we don't care about. Okay, so we have stat blocks, right? And basically you got these action values, which is, this game is based off of 2d6. You need a light dice and a dark dice. When you roll them, you take your light dice, which in my case got a 5, and then you have your dark dice, which came up a 4. You subtract the dark dice from the light dice, and that's what you add to your action value. So add or subtract. In this case, I got a total of a 1. That would add to my martial arts of 13. I get a 14. If that passes the defense of the opponent, I hit him. Then you figure out how much damage I did. Really simple system. Works really fast. But if I rolled it and I got a 1 on my positive dice, not good, and I got a 6 on my negative dice, I'm already at a negative 5. That's bad. But 6s explode. So I got a 6. I roll an add. Oh god, I got another 6. That's 12. And then I got a 1. So that's 13. Subtracted off of the positive die who got a 1. So I'm at negative 12. I then adjust my AV of 13 by that, and I ended up with a 1 for my result. Yeah, I failed. That's bad. And that actually turns out to be a spectacular failure, which, not good. But we'll get into that when we get into combat and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I got a martial arts of 13. I also have a backup attack, guns, at 11. So I'm a little worse with guns than I am with fighting with my bare fists. But that's okay. I have a defense of 15. That's what the opponents need to hit me. I have a toughness of 6. That's basically subtracts off of the damage, as I recall. They need to get more than that to actually hurt me. I have 9 fortune points, which for my purposes are basically luck. You can spend them to, you know, add a extra die to your positive die, that sort of thing. Wouldn't help me with my last roll, but if I really, really, really needed a super spectacular hit and it was close, that fortune die may make the difference between winning or losing. And finally, speed. Speed is useful for figuring out how far you can move. I can spend an action to double that, that sort of thing. I have a speed of 6, so I can move 6 meters in an action, or 12 if I just flat out run. But it's also used for initiative. You roll 1d6. I got a 1. What is with this die getting 1s? That would give me a 7, which means my initiative is 7. Yay. But again, we'll get into all that in combat later on. Let's see. So that's all that stuff. The stat block is already set. That doesn't change right now. Okay. Wealth is also set. I have working stiff as my wealth. Basically means I don't have a whole lot of access to guns or gear or anything like that. If you were rich, you'd have basically whatever you wanted. You don't have to worry about so much about carrying around cash. You know, you basically just check against your level for, you know, what you can get. Like, working stiff characters earn a salary and take home a paycheck. Rent, food, basic needs leave them little budget for expensive items. If they quit their jobs, they'll have to come up with some other means of support, like a patron in the Chi Wars who will clothe, house, and feed them. So basically, I have to be worried about my job, which, again, much like Jack Burton in Big Trouble in Little China. What was his big concern? Getting his truck back, right? His semi. Somebody had taken it. The gang members on the bad side had snagged up his truck, and he was focused on getting that truck back. And also the money that his friend owed him. But the truck was most important because it's his job. Right? Okay. You can tell that was definitely what they inspired Everyday Hero on. Okay. Now, personalizing the character. Then you got to come up with a concept, right? And sure, I could just go with, okay, he's just an everyday hero. All right. But can we be a little more specific about that? Sure. Well, of course we can. That's what we have imaginations for. So, like they say, think of a basic concept to make your character specific. Not just a maverick cop or a killer, but your particular maverick cop or killer. Now, I see Frank here as kind of clueless. I mean, not so much that he's not even, he's doesn't understand what's going on with the secret war or anything like that. That's nothing. No, I mean, in general, he's just a schlub. He's just a guy, does his job, he, on the weekends, he drinks a beer and he watches sports, and that's it. He just lives his life. He's just some guy. Literally, he has no clue. You could basically gun battles going on around him, and he just gonna whoop, 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 walk on. He's just got his lunch sack, and he's on his way to or from his job, and that's it. There's only one thing that really catches his attention, really, and we'll get to that in a minute. So I put down, for a character concept, he's just basically an unwitting schlub. As long as his life isn't directly affected, he doesn't really care. It's not that he doesn't care, it doesn't hit his radar. He just ignores it, because it isn't something that bothers him. He just whistles as he walks through the fire, right? Except for one thing. Frank, in his lifetime, you have a melodramatic hook you have to come up with. Now, when he was young, he didn't have the greatest upbringing. I'm going to say he was abused as a child. His dad was rough. His dad was a mean drunk. So, he and his mom took the brunt of that. So, while he may keep to himself and not really get involved in stuff going on, if he sees people he deems as being helpless, being attacked or threatened, if he sees them scared, he goes into immediate protect mode, just like he did trying to protect his mom. And got a broken jaw for it, or multiple black eyes, or whatever, right? So, his melodramatic hook is that he suffered abuse as a child, and he protects the helpless, children, old people, all that. If he thinks you're a bully, he's going to step in the way, right? Okay, they have multiple different options in Feng Shui 2 as to what melodramatics you could take, melodramatic hooks. Okay, so, of course, you have to come up with a name. I have that. Now, additional gear. The first thing they say about it, don't worry about it. Your archetype provides typical weapons and maybe other items as well. Any other props come and go as scenes require them. During play, you may decide that your character ought to have a particular item, whether it's a notebook computer, a jade ring, or an electric drill. Convincingly pitch the item to the GM as something your character plausibly owns or has on his person, and she'll approve it. If it seems unlikely, even for the wild action movie antics of Feng Shui, she'll nix it. Okay? Seems reasonable. And, being an everyday hero, why would he walk around with a gun? Or baseball bat, or anything else. Literally, doesn't need it. basically, as his skills denote, he can drive, he's got information on classic cars, classic rock, beer, and sports. That's it. So, yeah. Anyway, let's figure out. We don't have to worry about advancements right now because we don't have any. Because we're not attuned to a feng shui site or anything like that. So let me just take a quick look at the back of the character. Nope. Yep, I think we're okay. So, still got a few minutes. Why don't we go ahead and set the scene, shall we? So, I just want to start with him in a basic situation and see what happens. This is the way I was going to actually start the adventure, the feng shui adventure that we were going to play in the summer. Just going to start it off here and see what happens. So let's do that. Frank is going to start off on Sunday morning during the football off season. That's important. So his Sunday mornings are pretty open. He's doing his laundry at a local laundromat. And being a Sunday morning, there's a lot of people there. You know, it's not totally packed, but there's probably a good dozen other people, including the staff. Dryers are whirring, washers are going, kids are playing at the pinball or video game in the machine. There's activity going on. Some people are chatting because they know each other, that sort of thing. Let's say it's run by, the Chow family. Okay? So let's take a quick note of that. Laundromat, and it's owned by Chow. And so I'm going to say they're an older Chinese couple that have lived in America for a while. Oh, yes, this game is normally set in Hong Kong. Instead, we're going to set it in Los Angeles, which means it was filmed in Vancouver, British Columbia. But whatever. It's Los Angeles, quote unquote. Okay? And I'm going to make an adjustment here. Instead of info on classic cars, I'm going to say he has info on football. No, he already has sports. I don't even have to change that. It's just general sports. If I'd read my own character sheet, I'd understand that. So never mind. Okay. So, we're getting started. Now, I need something to happen, right? Past all these archetypes in the main book. Get to the combat section, because I'd like something to happen. There. So we got that open. I need the GM emulator. So, let's see. This has, CRGE has something called Loom of Fate. And it's basically a binary Game Master module, right? And you use this to determine the answer to yes or no questions. Like I could ask, is something dangerous going to happen while at the laundromat? And then we need to get percentile dice. I have a pair right here. And I rolled a 0-3. All right? 0-3. That's no and unexpectedly. Okay. That's interesting. So I roll a d20 then on the unexpectedly table. I got a 5. Key grip. What does key grip mean? Set the location or general elements for the next scene. Current scene should then start wrapping up and heading towards the next scene. Well, I'm going to say that nothing happens. And he loads up his basket with his clothes. Of course, he's pulled them out of the dryer, put them in the basket. He didn't fold them or anything because he doesn't care. He's a welder. It doesn't matter if his clothes are wrinkled or not. He usually wears jeans and t-shirts. Not a whole lot that matters about wrinkling there. And he's going to head home. So, since we need something to happen, though, what are we going to have happen? Well, why don't we roll again when he's out loading his stuff into the car. Actually, no. Leave the scene. He's driving home. He gets to his apartment complex. And let's check to see if anything happens there. Anything dangerous. So, percentiles. 30. Literally opposite of what we got before. That is, again, a no. Nothing happened. It seems that Frank here leads an extremely boring life. So he takes his clothes and he heads up to his apartment, steps inside, kind of just drops the basket in the bedroom because why would he put his clothes away? Goes over, cracks a beer, sits down on the couch in front of the TV, turns it on, and like I was saying, turns it on, and apparently a dragon roars. So, yeah, let's start finishing this up. But I want something to start before we actually move on. Ah, this is embarrassing. Anyway, so let me use a different set of percentiles. I have two, because those ones need to go to jail. All right, we have a 79. Does anything interesting happen now? Yes, something does. Oh, shoot. I forgot about the surge count. Surge count? When the Loom of Fate is asked a question and the result is a plain yes or no, use a note card or D20 and add 2 to the note card or D20 after the question is resolved. This is the surge count. Well, we've only had one that was just a straight up no, and now we have a straight up yes. So the surge count is now at 4. All right. Now, basically what that does is this number adds to the next roll until it continues. It'll build and build and build. And when finally we get something that's unexpectedly, the surge count is reduced back to 0. And there you go. You start over. So we're at 4. That actually meant that it came up a 79 would be a, it would have added only 2, sort of an 81. An 81 is a yes and. And since it's a yes and, it returns back to 0. So we're done there. Okay. So let's go back to yes and. This modifier reinforces the response of yes or no. Not a shock. Okay. So he sat down, turned on the TV, and something unexpected happens. He hears yelling outside. Let's say down in the parking lot. Now, like I said, Frank is generally the type of guy who doesn't get involved. He keeps his head down, just does his job, doesn't worry about it. But he hears somebody yelling, let's say. So it's enough to catch his interest. Maybe he hears a high-pitched voice like a woman or a child that seems to be in distress. So he's going to get up and look out the window, and he'll see just that. But can we determine with this what he sees? Well, I'm sure there is something in here that'll give us something to work with. Please tell me there's something in here that we can work with. Come on, man. Don't fail me now. Okay, we're just going to have to go with the yes and no's. Does he see, does this woman appear to be in danger? And a straight up 40 says probably just nothing. We'll go to conflict. No, there's just an argument. Okay, so that's fun. I guess he sits down and watches some more TV. And we're going to end it there because we're a little over time. And we'll just see if anything interesting happens with poor Frank here soon enough. Because this is super exciting. I know you're all waiting for the next time. I was hoping to end it on a cliffhanger, but yeah, the dice have failed me. So, okay then. So I guess until next time, I'm your bewildered host, Scormus. May all your dice rolls be nice rolls.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want more content like this, come on over to scormy.com. We've got more podcasts, blogs, our own Discord server, and so much more. Also, don't forget to join us again next week as your intrepid guide Scormy delves once more into the world of solo role-playing.